And I have a beautiful song for you this morning. I think it is Brooklyn Tower. So we're going to go to Brooklyn right now. And we're going to hallelujah to the King. You want to turn that up a little bit for us, please? That one's lower, so you're going to have to really go up on it. There you go. Come on.
Come, let us shout, rejoicing. Now let us sing. Let's lift our hands before the King. Come, let us bow before Him. Now let us praise. Let's give all glory to His name.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo! In preparing and putting together this message today, I want to talk to you about not man, but God. But God. Not man, but God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read the whole chapter in segments. But as you're turning there and preparing and getting ready, Several years back, Paul Harvey, anybody know them?
Yeah, Paul Harvey,
he's a newscaster, told about Dwayne Cowgill, a barber in Marshall, Michigan. Dwayne had an overabundance of produce from his garden one year. He gave away as much as possible to his friends, his neighbors, and family. But that kind of reminds me of when we had our garden. Oh, my goodness. Gloria Ann, you know what I'm talking about. We had so much stuff we couldn't give it all away. But the produce was coming faster than he could eat it or get rid of it. He couldn't figure out what to do with it all. So finally, he came up with a solution. He piled a small mountain of leftover produce on the bench that sat on the sidewalk in front of the barbershop, his barbershop, with a sign that read, "Free. Help yourself." Okay? At the end of the day, all the produce was gone. That's great. The only thing was, Dwayne forgot to remove the sign from the bench. When he arrived to work the next morning, the bench was gone. Be careful what you write. Sometimes we put too much stock in our own solutions to problems, and we usually find out that we lack the wisdom, the strength, or the force, or the will to adequately solve the problem. He oversolved the problem. Why do we insist on working out, thinking out, or determining out a way for ourselves? You know, in my travels with my patients, I've been doing a devotion out of my devotional book it's called Panic or Prayer. Panic or Prayer. It was found with Isaiah, one of the rulers of the nation Israel. You know, and as the story goes, let me give you the story in my own paraphrase point of view. There was this 85-year-old lady, all alone, and lived in a convent. One day, she got in an elevator to go up or down or whatever, and she got stuck in this elevator for 4 nights and 3 days. Fortunately, she had a jar of water, some celery sticks, and some cough drops. That was her diet for 4 nights. She said and commented it was either panic or pray to CNN newscaster when she finally got out. Here was her comment. "I tried unsuccessfully to get out of this thing. I tried to open the doors so that at least I would get a cell phone signal." She had no cell phone signal. She had no ability to get out of the door. So she just sat back in that elevator and gave it over to God. And she prayed, "God, help me." And she sat there until she was rescued. By the help of God, she was rescued. Ezra, king of Israel at that time, had a similar situation of panic or pray. He was battled with an army, an Ethiopian army of 1 million men coming against him. Can any of you fathom 1 million men? I couldn't fathom 1 million people in this church. I would like to. I don't think it'll happen, not in this building, but I can at least dream that it's in another one. You know, that would be all of, probably more than all of Reno, you know. But that's a lot of people. He had the situation of panic or prayer. Instead of relying on the military force that he had, instead of cowering in dread, "Well, I know what's going to take place next," it says that he prayed. And he prayed and used the name of God. God, you got to help me. This is Jerry's paraphrased prayer. You know, here we have a devastating army out there that's going to come against us. You know, God, they're going to come against us, but they're also coming against your name. So your name is at stake, Lord. So I pray that your name will be honored. Your name would be exalted. See, that was a very humbling and wonderful prayer. He could have prayed out of many other things, but he humbled himself in his prayer, and he prayed giving the glory to God and put God on the line. God, this is your name. Are you going to allow this army to come against your people? Your name? Well, as you know, the ending of the story, God honored his prayer, and they won a victorious battle. But it was not by our strength. It was not by his army strength. It was not by anything that he could do, but it was through the power of Almighty God and God's strength. Hallelujah! Let me give you some examples of what God thinks about our strength. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to man. But the end leads to death. That's what God thinks about our own strength in many ways. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he will what? He shall direct your paths. He will make them straight. He will see to you and to your path, to your direction. We all go through struggles. It's what you do with them that makes the difference. You know, that devotion, panic, or prayer meant so much because it reminds me of me. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not relating to any of you guys, but it reminds me of me. I always look at problems that, why bother our Heavenly Father? He is such a busy, busy God up there. And you know what? This is such a small, minute concern. Why bother him? How many of you have ever thought that? Okay? And the answer to that is, that's why he's there. He wants you to go call on him when the problem is small. Not when it's overwhelming. Not when it's out of control. Not when you're sitting there in dread. But when it's small. But God also looks at it this way. Even if you don't, he's still going to answer you. Is that okay to say that? Even if you wait, I know from experience of waiting to the last minute. You know, of waiting till overwhelming disaster is about ready to take place, and all I have is his reliance. But God doesn't really want that a lot of time. Let's hear a little bit about what Apostle Paul says about trusting in our own efforts. I hope you found where we're at. 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to start with verse 1 and 5, but let me pray now through the power of the Holy Spirit that God move. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, God, because there's in life, Lord, we do go through overwhelming circumstances. We go through concerns and problems, oh God, that we would never be able to handle on our own. And all we have is you for the answer. So I pray, God, that you help us during this time understand what Apostle Paul said about relying on self versus relying on God. Give me wisdom to teach your people what they and myself need to hear. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. The very first thing, and I'm going to take this whole scripture, this whole chapter, I want to take it in segments. So that we don't read it all at one point. But I want to take you into segments of this word. This is a good chapter to kind of underline or to read and dissect as much as you possibly can. But if you go into this, the very first thing we have to understand, it's not by human strength, but by God's power that sees us through everything that we go through. Can I say that again? It's not by our own strength, our own abilities that helps us get through the things that we get through. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Woo! That is the truth.
It is. And you know, that's why I encourage all of our Spirit-filled churches of today. We need to be on fire for God today more than we've ever.
Yes.
I remember in the days of Pentecost of old, in the presence of God, in some churches you felt that we had fire departments coming because of the fire that was off the building, which really wasn't the fire. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit. The exploitations of what you saw God do. In reading the Word of God, every day now I'm driving, and when I'm driving, I'm hearing the Word of God being taught to me. And in the midst of hearing all this, the miracle working power of Jesus was so strong. And Jesus left us with the best example when he said, the things that you see me do here. And we all know the things that we saw God, Jesus do. He says, the things that you see me do here. Listen to me, church. Listen. He said, what you see me do, you're going to do. But he said, there's something even better. You're going to do even more exploits. The power of God is going to come so strong on you. You're going to do more because I'm going to live in you. So it transported what he did physically to what he did spiritually in every one of us. And that's why the gospel grows. That's why the power of God grows. It grows in you, and you transport it to others. That's called discipling them. The power of God is strong. It's not by any human force, but it's by the power of God. Let me read this to you. 1-5. And I, brethren, when I come to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is Apostle Paul talking about it. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. What he wanted was their faith not to rest on the wisdom or human acknowledgement, but in the power of God. Man's wisdom has come a long ways. We've come a long ways when we understand the wisdom of man and our own wisdom. Human strength. Our brains can devise machines that apply thousands of times more strength to a project than we could ever hope to on our own. Do you understand that? There are the simple thing as a machine, a lever. You know, let's say if we want to lift a car up, what do? Get a jack. Come on now. You mean you just can't go over there? Maybe if it's a really small car. But you can't go over there and grab that motorhome up there and lift it up with your bare hands?
You can't even lift my go-kart up.
See, so we can't in our own strength, but our minds projected wisdom enough to invent a jack that would do what we can't do and do it for us. A lever to take motors out. Do you know now they've got, have you seen cranes out there?
Oh, yeah.
And what that crane can do? That was an invention by the brains of men. That's great inventions by men. But in our own strength, we couldn't do that. We devised it by our human strength. But now let me tell you something. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the power of God. Not anything that we could do, not no crane lifting up millions of pounds can compare to the power of God. God's power. In Psalm 62:11, it says that power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. He has the power over natural elements. Did you know that? He can calm storms. He can walk on water. He can turn water into wine and into blood. Right? He separated the sea for the Israelites to escape from Egypt on dry ground. Some people like to simulate, oh, well, it was a muddy, you know, it was mud. I don't care if it was mud or whatever. But when you have a wall of water on both sides of it and you're walking down the middle of it, you better have faith in God. Yeah. So whatever it is, we've got to give an understanding of the power of God. Man's strength cannot do that. Healing, raising someone from the dead, is not man's strength. Okay? Can we say it that way? It's not man's strength. It's God's power through the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And greater things. Oh my gosh. God, he even caused the sun to stop in its orbit. That's the power of God. Let me give you what Paul's confession or comment was. Paul told the people there in Corinthians, I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Paul recognized his human strength and its inability to do what God wanted him to do in himself. God's going to call on you for something. And you're going to make the excuse, I can't do this. That's impossible. Come on. Oh, whoa. Okay. Paul also said, I didn't rely on my own strength, but on the demonstration of the power of God's strength. Woo! Why our efforts sometimes or maybe always fail. Why? We tend to depend too much on our own abilities. Come on. We need to stop depending on ourselves and depend on the one who can overcome all things. The disciples asked Jesus about something they thought was impossible. They thought this was impossible, and they asked Jesus, what are we going to do, Lord? This we can't be done. They didn't understand the power of God. So many Christians today don't understand the power of God. That's impossible. Well, now here's his answer. In Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible. But with God. Let me say that again. Oh, okay. Well, say it with me. With man, this is impossible. That's in Matthew. In fact, you better turn to that. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Turn to that because you really need to understand that and you need to underline that. Matthew 19, verse 26. You found it. There you go. Matthew 19. Verse 26, please, you got to look this up on your scripture and underline it, underscore it, put it an indication in your brain so that you'll understand it and know it. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work, what?
In us.
Within you and I. That's the power of God. Okay, there's a song out there called The Power of Man or something. I can't remember the name. It's an older song, you know. But it's the power of God. It's not man, it's God. It's not our strength. It's not our way. It's not our will. It's God. It's God. Is it God? Look to your neighbor and say, it's God. It's not me. It's God. It's God. Come on. So, it's not by our strength. It's God's strength. Okay? Second part of that, it's not by human reason. It's not by our own reason, but it's by God. Excuse me. It's by God's wisdom. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's go into verses 5, or excuse me, 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which some of the rulers of this age, if they knew this, okay, if they knew this, that which none of the rulers of this age, for had they known it, what he's saying that this wisdom is for you and I, but there's a lot of rulers out there, a lot of people won't understand it. So it's a hidden wisdom that is not given to them to understand. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. See, you got to understand, human reasoning, human understanding, it's not by anything that's human. God's power isn't. It's our faith in him. Faith is not human intellect. Faith is here. Is that okay? Let me give you some examples of human reasoning. Some of you might have said this. That's not smoke, it's steam. And the house burns down. We should have enough gas to get us where we're going. Anybody said that one before? As the tank says empty, oh, but we're going to have enough. It's supposed to make that sound. Uh-huh. I don't need to unplug it. It'll only take a moment to fix. Anybody did that? You got something plugged in and you know you have a breaker out there that you can turn it off? I don't need to turn that breaker off. It's just going to take a second to fix. Zap! You have curly hair, automatic. Here's you a couple of other human reasonings. Okay? Consider these quotes as reflected to human reasoning. It says, everything that can be invented has already been invented. Charles H. Duell, Commissioner of U.S. Patent Office, 1899. I don't think his human reasoning went too well. Here's another good one for you. I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Thomas Watson, chairman of the board of IBM, 1943. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. Western Union Internal Memo, 1876. Yeah, Western Union. This is the wisdom of man and how the wisdom of man works. But now, let's listen to the Bible and what it says about human reasoning. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 23 in the Amplified. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image worthless idols in the shape of mortal man, birds, and four-footed animals and reptiles. That's what the thought pattern of human reasoning. James 3:15 says, this superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. Some of our wisdom that we carry today is not of God. And I'm sorry to say, we're depending too much on secular wisdom to get us through, and it is turning demonic. Okay? And it's going to turn on us as Christians when we begin to rely too much on the secular wisdom out there. This is what God is telling you. He's telling you that for a reason, to help you grow and understand. It's not by man's wisdom, but it's by God's. Here's what the Bible says about God's wisdom. In 2 Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream. None of his advisors could interpret it. So the king ordered that all of his wise men be killed. Well, Daniel got a hold of it. And he went to the king knowing that, hey, I better do something, because he was considered one of those wise men, you know. So he went to King Nebuchadnezzar and says, what are you talking about? Well, he says, I have this dream and nobody can interpret it. He said, Daniel said to him, God can. He says, well, if you can interpret this dream, I won't put all of them to death. Here was his prayer. His prayer. Understand, it's all about prayer. Here was his prayer before he approached the king. Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known to me now what we desired of you. For you have made known to us the solution of the king's problems. Do you understand? He acknowledged where his wisdom was from. It's not from God, man, but from who? From who? That's where our wisdom should be coming from. That's where we need to approach God, is not from the wisdom of men, but from the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, let me try that again. Some of you got to grab that. If you lack wisdom, when God approached Solomon and asked Solomon, what would you like for me to... And I believe God was real when he was saying, I'll give you anything that your heart desires. And he would have given it to him. But Solomon was wise enough to realize that he wasn't wise. You know? So what he said to God, he said, God, I want more than anything your wisdom to lead these people your way. And God told Solomon, I give you my wisdom, not man's wisdom. And God, you have to understand, Solomon of that day was the wisest man known of that time period. And it was given not by man, but by God. So that goes for all of us. We're lacking it today because we're not asking for it. We're depending too much on our own wisdom and on man's wisdom to get us through. And God says, quit depending on them and depend on me, because I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to anybody but through who? Through the Son of God. It's through His power. And His power, where does it live? Within us. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Do you understand that? That's God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. And number three, it's not by human will, but by the Spirit of God. Woo! Let's read that in 9 through 16. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God has revealed it through who? His Spirit. His Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? That's Jesus. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Whoa, do you understand? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I like that right there. But we have the mind of Christ. We have. When you accept the Lord as your personal Savior and you receive that relationship with Him, the mind of Christ comes into you. Now, it is a process. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't believe people that are born again, that are babes in Christ, can do the things that when you are mature. God looks for you to mature in Him. But He also understands you too. Okay? So He treats you as a babe when you're growing up. But as you're growing up, He wants you to grow in maturity. And you got to understand, it is a process. That's why as a born-again believer, it's like a new baby. When you're a new baby, you have mama and daddy to cuddle you, protect you, guide you, and feed you the right things. Because you can't do it. They're going to give you the right wisdom, the right knowledge. You know, I look at little Will and how he's just expanding above any means I've ever seen. That kid is something. But he has it, and he's beginning to talk now. And I worry when that really takes place and he really starts getting his vocabulary up, we're going to have a wonderful time.
But I'll tell you what, Steve, too, if you let your guard down, all it takes is letting your guard down and all the spots will come back in. It's a whole another process.
It's, and I go it this way. The more of God you put in your heart, the more of
His Word
you put in your heart, the more you put God there, the less man will be there. The less human reasoning will be there. The less human strength will be there. Do you understand? King David was a man after God's own heart. But David had problems.
Yes, he did.
Did he? But he was still considered a man after God's own heart with problems. So if you look at it that way, I'm a man after God's own heart with problems. You know? But do not lean on our own wisdom. Do not lean on our own reasoning. And do not lean on our own will. Let me read you this. Paul compares trust in the physical life with trust in the spiritual life. We haven't received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. Haven't we? The Spirit of God is, here it is, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of guidance, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of a teacher. The Spirit of God produces for us the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. We cannot understand the things of God without the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. We can't comprehend what God wants without the Holy Spirit living in us. If it's of God or not of God. Right. Evil tree brings forth evil fruit. They shall know. Mm-hmm. The Bible also tells us that we cannot trust in our own effort. Right? The only way to receive the help of the Spirit of God is to receive the Son as our Savior. We can't earn our salvation, nor can we work out our own solutions. Now, we can work out our own salvation, but we can't work out our own solution. And the problem that we have, there's too many people trying to work out their own solutions. Instead of depending on God, instead of asking God for the answer, they look for their ways. Human ways. Human wisdom. Human counseling. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going against counselors. I think they're a needed aspect in our life, in some people's lives. I believe that we should be looking for Christian counselors if we got problems instead of man-made counselors. Man-made counselors are going to give you man-made decisions, not godly decisions. You get Christian counselors, they'll give you Christian decisions. And they also know, most Christian counselors know where their help comes from.
Yeah, I think any counselor could be a good counselor.
Any counselor would be. Yeah. I have nothing against counselors, but I think that if there's a time and need for a counselor, there's a time and need to look for a spiritual counselor. Someone that understands the word. Someone that is born again and they have counseling. I do believe it. Well, then you go to church and get one from a church. Amen. 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 We can only, here's the answer to everything that all of you have been saying here. We can only trust in what God does for us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Do you understand that? That's it. That's the whole answer in a nutshell. Timothy Smith said this, one of the truths of the Bible given over and over again is you can never be good enough on your own to earn heaven. Because once you sin one time, you can't brag to a perfect God on how good you are. I mean, you don't impress the engineers of Boeing with an airplane that you made from paper. You don't brag about how far you can drive a golf ball in the presence of Tiger Woods. Maybe now you do. But you don't look Michael Jordan in the eye after shooting a jump shot and say, I got game. And you certainly can't boast about your goodness in the presence of a perfect and holy God. Amen. But thank God, He provided the way through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Remember, it's not human strength, but God's power. It's not human reasoning, but by God's wisdom. It's not by human will, but by God's Spirit. If you'll put those together, you know, He'll see you through. It's not man, but God. And if I can do anything in leaving to you today, I want to leave you with understanding it's all about the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So many churches are failing today because they've downloaded the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're putting the Holy Spirit in a back room. They're putting the Holy Spirit in a prayer closet somewhere. I believe in prayer rooms or war rooms, but I also believe when we come together, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? We are the most privileged people in the world. Why are we the most privileged people in the world? Because we have this. But let me explain to you something about the Old Testament saints. And I was telling Sharon this earlier. Did you know that the Old Testament saints did not have this? Okay? They did not have the Word of God. The priest had scrolls. And that's all they had. You didn't go around.
They didn't even know how to read.
Right. Most of them, they didn't go around being able to open their scroll and read. If they could. Because the scrolls were everything had to be handwritten, everything. So we're privileged.
Yeah.
God has given you something so wonderful. Never tell me I haven't heard the word of God. I haven't heard from God. Well, maybe you haven't picked up His word.
Yeah.
Because this is God.
Yeah.
This is the infallible word of God. If you don't have a Bible, I'll get you one. I'll buy you one. Because you need to read His Word. Get it grafted in your soul, your spirit. And we also privileged because we have the Holy Spirit. That's another thing we're downloading. We're taking it out of the churches. We need to bring it back in the churches. On the day of Pentecost, the power of God came. Okay? The Azusa Street, the power of God came. There's many examples of the power of God and the healing power of God. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to that. Spirit, fall. Spirit, fall down. Spirit, fall down. Close your eyes. And listen to what God has to say.
In your presence, Lord, with our hearts open wide, with lifted hands.
And this morning, if you feel like, I want you to pray at your seat or come to an altar to find a place to pray, but let the Spirit of God fall on you.